Bethany was very intelligent, but she liked things simple. Okay? The simpler you got it, the better it was for her. And again, she was intelligent, but she just, sometimes we'd be talking and Linda was our interpreter. She would tell me something, then Linda would translate what she was telling them, what she was saying. She'd translate it to me. And then, y'all had to be there. It was always so funny because Linda would go, I'm telling Bethany something, and Bethany goes, I said, Bethany, you got that? Yes, sir, Daddy. And Linda said, what did he say? Yeah. And so, yeah, so it was crazy. And so it was really funny, actually, the way we did that. It was actually funny. After we would have our little talk, Linda would say, okay, and Linda would always translate for us. And I saw this joke and it reminded me of it. It's in a new joke book, by the way. It's not the old joke book, it's the new joke book. Let's see here. Yeah, y'all see, right? We try this thing here. All right, let's try this now. Let's see if things working. If it is, it is. If it isn't, it isn't. We're going to make it work one way or the other. Let's see here. There we go. There we are, anxiety. Let's let me tell a joke first, though. A four-year-old son was eating an apple in the back seat of the car. Can you turn the lights on here, please? A four-year-old was eating an apple in the back seat of the car when he asked, Daddy, why is my apple turning brown? Not that I'm hot enough as it is. There you go. He said, because, explained his daddy, after you ate the skin off, the meat of the apple came into contact with the air, which caused it to oxidize, thus changing the molecular structure and turning it into a different color. There was a long silence, and the son asked softly, Daddy, are you talking to me? Linda laughed. She said, that sounds so much like you and Bethany. Wow. I said, yeah, don't it? So God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Now let me see what I got going on here. I'm telling you, today has been one of those days. Have you ever just had one of those days where you wish you could sit back and I even had a dream about today. That's always cool too. That we were going to have an awesome service no matter what. That's what I saw. That's right. Okay, so here we go. Get your Bibles out. Joshua chapter 1. Couldn't stay awake last night, so then this morning I was trying to get this stuff going and couldn't get anything to work. I said, wow, if I could have stayed awake last night, I could have tried it last night and got it started, but no, I waited till today. And if you wait till the last minute, what do you usually get? Trouble. All right, Joshua chapter 1, stand for the reading of the word. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide in inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou now strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the left or to the right hand or to the or left, that you may observe, that you mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is there written in. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well. We know, God, that you are working things in our very midst. Lord, I know there's a lot of us are sick right now with these head colds and chest colds and bronchitis. It's all over the place. Touch them. Touch them all, Father. This pollen is affecting everybody. And I ask you right now, Lord, do what you do best, and let's take care of business. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you're in total control. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. Now, we were talking, this is part two of the stress attacking panic. I see a lot of people, it seems like a lot of times I have to spend a lot of time getting people to calm down so I can talk to them. Calm down. If you don't calm down, I'll never be able to talk to you. If I can't get you to be still, then you're not going to listen. And so there's a lot of people walking around that are so stressed out that they honestly, they've let the stress consume them. Because the stress has consumed them, they no longer can talk. And so here it is now. So we're going to talk about this. And this is just a couple of slides from a couple of weeks ago. So most of y'all, this is just going to be a small refresher. I didn't do a bunch of them, just a few, just to keep us going straight. Here, I love this. Oh, good grief. These tights are so, I can't even see, my eyes are so clogged up with pollen, are so tight, I don't know what I'm going to do. She says, anxiety girl, she can jump to the greatest conclusion in a single bound. How many can get at jumping to conclusions? I find myself, I have to stop. When we're at Emmaus, I can sit down at Emmaus and all of a sudden it seems like you can go to a table and because you got all these tables, everybody's ever been knows what I'm talking about. There's tables with men, there's tables with women, the women's walk, men's walk, men's table. And you go around, you can listen to them, and usually there's one or two that always is jumping to conclusions. And one of the cool things about Emmaus is it helps them during this time to quit jumping to so many conclusions, because we can actually jump to conclusions and take a small, minor problem and make it humongous just by jumping to conclusions. Amen? So here's anxiety girl. Come on up here. I'm trying to use my old computer and using my new computer too, because my new computer decided they weren't going to print PowerPoints this morning. Crazy, isn't it? Okay. Anxiety is an unpleasant state of inner turmoil, often accompanied by nervous behavior, such as pacing back and forth. Now this is, I want to build something here for you to think about in your own life. It is subjectively unpleasant feelings of dread over an anticipated event, such as the feeling of imminent death. All right? Anxiety is not the same as fear. Come on up here. Anxiety is not the same as fear, which is a response to a real or perceived immediate threat, whereas anxiety is the expectation of a future threat. So what happens is anxiety creates panic attacks. I've gone in before as a chaplain. People come in on the rescue squad and they're thinking they're having a heart attack and they're not finding anything wrong with them. Nothing physically wrong with them to be having this shortness of breath as far as their enzymes and all that. And what it is just an anxiety attack. These anxiety attacks take over and people literally, that they will pass out, they will throw up, their blood pressure go out of this world. It's just crazy. Some of the stuff when you start having these anxiety attacks. And so what we're going to talk about today is a way to keep them from attacking you and you can attack it. Amen. I'd much rather be on the offense than the defense. How about you? Amen. Come on up here, baby. You can do it. All right. This is a couple of slides, again, like I said, from a couple of weeks ago. If there's ever a person that was subject to a panic attack, it had to be Joshua. Good God, have mercy. Can you imagine Joshua having to follow behind Moses? Who in their right mind would want to follow behind Moses? I wouldn't. No. You know, so he's called to take Moses' place. He's called to fill some big shoes, and he's called to take a big land, which is also, he's got big shoes to fill, and he's got a big job to complete. And they were both impossible without God. There's things you're going through this week. There's things you're going through right now. There's things that's on your mind right now. You cannot do it without God. You cannot even think about it without God. And so it's very important that we think about these things, that this can cause anxiety in our heart if we take it out of God's hands and put it in our own hands. So we don't want to do that. Come on up here, baby. You got it. There you are. So here we go. And here's from the end of last week. Okay, anxiety. How do you trigger anxiety? Here it is. I'm going to give you this from Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Triggers for anxiety. Watch this. When your past triggers negative feelings. How many's got some negative feelings from your past? How many's got skeletons in your closet? How many's got somebody else's skeletons in your closet? Amen. We got an honest man out there. Amen. God deliver him right now. Woo, there you go. All right. Sometimes a reminder of a difficult past triggers anxious emotions. You know, say for instance, I've actually saw personal. I've seen several people over the years that honestly would not go out of their yard. They felt so. They started wouldn't even come out of the house, and so what I would do is I'd give them an exercise every day, and every day I'd move them. I said, okay, tomorrow I want you to go sit on the porch, and when you sit on the porch. He said, I can't. I said, no. I want you to go sit on the porch. I want you to do your breathing exercises sitting on the porch. After your breathing exercises sitting on the porch, then I want you to get up and walk around and say, praise God. We got this. You got this, God. Then I want you to go back in the house. Don't worry about it anymore that day. The next day, I want you to stop on the porch. Sit down there for a minute and said, see, I've already done this one. I got to move on. Then go out in the yard. And I said, after a couple of days, had him where he would actually get out and go check the mail. His wife said, wow, he's checking the mail. Well, then I actually went and picked him up and drove him around. It took almost 2 weeks to get him to the point where he would drive a ride around in my car with me. Because something in his past had triggered, if he goes out the house, he's going to get hurt. It's going to be bad. And so again, so the past is a very powerful thing. Everybody in here, we've all got a past. We've all got things in our past we don't like. We all got things in our past we wish had never happened. And certain things can happen. You know, you can't change your past, but you can change how you respond to it. So he said, here it is. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Get up from your mourning. Get up. From whatever's got you down right now, get up. The stuff behind you, you have to say it. We say it all the time. The past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. So, Moses, my servant, is dead. There's nothing you can do to bring Moses back. I would love to bring back my 20s. At least I could, you know, change some things. I can't. You know, I'd love to even bring back some 40s. Wouldn't that be cool? I had to look down the other day, and I looked in the mirror and said, why are you starting to look so old? You know, my wife really helped me out. After Bethany died, we were sitting there and we were talking about Bethany and things were really kind of emotional. And my wife looked at me and she said, you know, one thing that Bethany's done this last year for you. I said, what's that, dear? She said, she's made you look old. Thank you, dear. Can you think of anything else to make me feel good about? Amen. But she was trying to be funny. But that's what I was going to say is, though, is so many things in our past we cannot change, all right? So, first, when your past triggers negative emotions. Now, watch this. Here's another trigger for anxiety, and this is a very powerful trigger, believe it or not, if I can get this trigger to work. Come on, trigger. Can we have just a little more problems before today's over with? We can have some fun. Let's see here. There you go. When you feel unprepared. He says, now once you get up, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people. Wait a minute, that's what Moses was doing. I didn't know this was in the contract. I was helping Moses. I had no idea I was going to be leading the people. My job was to help Moses. I was going to do whatever he needed to do. I was doing the fighting. He was doing the thinking. I was doing the fighting. He was the brain. I was the brawn. What's going on, God? Has anybody ever had this? All of a sudden, you're thrown in a position where you're going, wow, why in the world am I stuck in this position? Why have I got to be stuck in this? I had no idea I was going to have to do this. And then when you just feel like things are out of control. Your future's unknown and change is scary. And so here it is. He said, but thou and all those people, you go into this land. And then when you just feel like you have no explanation. At all. Sometimes there's no warning. Things just happen. You know, I hear all the time, people will call me and say, pray for me. I had no idea my son was going to get in this wreck, or I had no idea that this death was going to take place. I had no idea all this stuff was going to happen, and they get stressed out over it. I was in the shopping line, a food line, with a lady I never even met. The guy in front of me, I was just trying to build him up. He had actually, one day, he was one of my neighbors, and one day, while I was taking Bethany out of the hospital, our grass had grown kind of high. Our regular grass guy, his lawnmower was broken. I told him, take your time, it's okay. But we were coming from the hospital, and the grass had gotten kind of tall. And I go out there, and there's this young man that lives seven houses down or eight houses down. He was out mowing my grass. He was going to mow it and leave and not say a word. And I walked out and said, what's happening, man? He said, nothing. I said, Linda said, who is that guy? I said, I don't know. So I said, what's going on? He said, I'm just cutting grass. I said, have you got the right house? He said, I got in the right house. I said, who are you? I didn't even know him. He said, I live down the road there. He said, I pass by this house every day. I know you get older sick, and I know it's been tough on you, and I saw your grass up. And he said, I just wanted to come by and show you that somebody still cares. Wow. And so he was in front of me at the checkout line. So I was in front of me at the checkout line. I happened to tell the lady, I said, that's an awesome young man. I said, millennials get some bad talk about them. I said, but that young man, and I told her what he had done. And I said, God's going to bless that young man in more ways than you ever imagined. And she said, oh, you're a minister. I said, yes, ma'am. And boy, she laid it on me. I mean, she just laid some stuff on me. You know, I'm glad I don't carry it on my shoulders, because I'd have fell right down, my back would have busted open. And I reached up and I had one of these on my hand, God's got this. And I took it off my hand and I put it on hers. I said, don't you know God's got this? And she says, no, I don't, but yes, he does. So I'm going to have to change my mind and change my attitude about things. I said, yes, you do. And I said, I've been praying for you. And I walked out and she was looking at the band and she was wiping tears out of her eyes and she was still working the checkout counter at food line. You never know where you're going to run into people that are having anxiety problems. It was her son was causing her to have this anxiety. So, and things that she never expected she would have to even confront. So here we go. Here we go. So here it is. So when you got that, anxiety it's not in a vacuum. If you got anxiety, I can promise you it's going to hurt everybody in your life. Is going to hurt you. It's going to hurt every relationship you've got. Everybody is going to be hurt by your anxiety that you come in contact with. Your job, your people, your children, they're all going to see it. They're all going to feel it. You know, this morning I was anxious. I have to tell you, I was anxious. You know, feeling bad, taking that stuff for it makes you anxious. How many cold medicine makes you anxious? It either makes you anxious or sleepy. I can't take the sleepy kind, so I have to take the anxious kind. Amen. I'd rather take the sleepy kind, but that's not good for today. All right. So here we go. Anxiety attack. Well, here's how we attack it. Now, this is where I stopped last time. I want to really pound this and then show you what it does. All right. This how do you attack your panic? How do you attack when you're beginning to think that you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you can't handle it, you've tried before, it just doesn't work, you've tried it many, many times, and things just kept going the other way, and you're still trying, and it's not working, and you're wondering if it's ever going to work again. All these questions that you got in your mind, the biggest thing is you're not good enough and there's no hope. That's the biggest ones of all. Here it is. God knew that Joshua was full of anxiety. So watch what he did. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, that doesn't just mean intake. That means outgoing. Not just intake, but outgoing. We're going to get to it in a minute. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, putting it in and thinking about it, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. I like one of the other translations, strength and courage. You're going to lead these people to inherit the land that I've promised to give their ancestors. Give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you, every bit of it. Don't get off track. That's what he's talking about. This is right here now. We're getting ready to take this in modern English now. Don't get off track, either to the left or the right, so to make sure you get where you're going. Don't let for one minute Let this book of Revelation out of your mind. Ponder it, meditate on it day and night. Make sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. So here's meditation. And I've told this to probably 10 people this week, and I told it a bunch of guys at the Emmaus Walk. Meditation is to mutter under your breath. It's to talk to yourself. How many here talk to yourself? Every hand should go up. We all talk to ourselves. We all do. You know, how many just recently said to yourself, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I'm equal to that charge. That was stupid. You're talking to yourself, and when you start saying that to you, guess what you're doing? Here it is. When he says meditate with his word, what it is healthy self-talk. You build faith. Oh, I love it. Reverse meditation is worry. Meditation, the mutter under your breath, the word of God. But when you start to worry about your problems and it stays on your mind, and then you start talking just in your own self, you're not using God's word, you know, or you're taking God's word to condemn you, you know, it's unhealthy. It deteriorates your faith. So it's very important that you meditate on God's word. Meditation, getting it in your head. You know, I sit back sometimes, and you can do this. This is cool. This is all right. I walk back and I think, you know what? I know Jesus never. I mean, on the way to pit detention, I was trying to get home to take care of my in-laws and take care of everything at the house. I was going up to. I just left Mallard Creek. I was on the way to go take care of business, and as I'm turning off of 33, the car goes boo 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 boo. And so it didn't have wings, so I just coasted all the way down the exit, and I pulled over to the side. DC was out of town, and so I called my cousin. He come pick me up, and I said, okay, God, this is not good. I got to be at PCDC in an hour. It's not good. And so I said, okay, how are we going to work this? And I said, Lord, I know you never drove a Chrysler, although that's what you would have probably drove. Okay, one of the prophets, I think it was Elijah, one of them, he drove a Plymouth because he talked about he went in a fury. Okay, all right. So here we go. So I said, what do we do, Lord? Tell me. I said, Lord, you got to tell me what to do because there's a lot of stuff going on here. So I just picked up the phone. I called Sister Boone. I told Sister Boone what was going on. I said, Sister Boone, I don't know how long it's going to take me to take care of all this tonight. I'm just going to have to back out. And I know you'll understand, and she did. And then I called our guys. I said, look, we're going to cancel out. Don't worry about it. And then it took me to, it was already past time by the time I got back to Possum Track, got the blue car. And drove it back, and then it was just crazy, and then the mechanic shop and all that. But I made a point of it. Instead of reverse meditation, which is worry, I said, I'm not going to worry about it. I said, God, I can sit here and worry about it, or I can listen to you tell me how to get out of this. What do I need to do? And so I just stopped and I breathed, did my breathing exercises, and I said, God, you just show me what to do. And next thing I know, I'm in the blue car, I'm at the house, everything's calm, everything was taken care of because I refused to get all upset over what was going on. You know, I said, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to, I refused to do that. And I started talking about God's word. I kept looking at my bracelet, God's got this, and no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I just thought, this is going to be okay, God. And I just kept talking in that positive direction, giving out positive word. And you know what happened? Watch this. When you begin to meditate versus worry, I love this. Peace to you. Do not fear. The Lord is your peace. That's in Judges. He was talking to Gideon. Jehovah Shalom. Watch this. If you start meditating on God's word versus your problem, if you start meditating on God's word versus talking yourself down about how stupid that was, I don't understand. I don't know why we're doing this. Why? You know, I had to keep catching myself this morning because I was trying to get everything going, and nothing was going. And those closest to me this morning know that I even had to battle this morning. I had to go from meditation, from not worry, but from meditation to however. I said, Lord, I got to keep this together. You know, can't just say I don't feel good. Nope, got to keep it together. So watch this. When you start meditating, it gives you power to put your mind at ease. This is where the anxiety comes in. The anxiety attacks your mind, plays all these games, and starts racing on you. And as it starts racing, wow. So watch this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love it. Well, here it is in the English. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take your yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, again, this is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. I love this version here about this, Matthew 11:28. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Wow, that's powerful. How many want your mind to be at ease? There it is. That's so powerful. Meditate. Call that over to yourself. Bring it back to your memory all the time. Just bring it back and bring it back and bring it back. Especially when you're going, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know what we're going to do. Blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. You got to trust Him to put your mind at ease. Secondly, of course, Jehovah Rahi, the Lord is my shepherd. All right, get this one. Now, this is so awesome. I love it. Put your trust in the great shepherd. How many have ever had your child cry out for help, real help, and you just said, do the best you can? And you know it was over their head. Did you just have to do the best you can? I'm not talking about your training purpose. I'm not talking about that. Because sometimes when you're training them, you have to allow that to happen. I'm talking about your child's in real need, and they can't do anything about it, and you're not training them. You see they're in a bind. You got to help them. How many's ever just said, do the best you can? You didn't, did you? You were right there and helped them. You took care of business. All right? Remember, trust Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Salah. So trust Him absolutely. Lay your lives on the line for Him. God is a safe place to be. God's got this. Somebody say that, God's got this. You know how cool it was to have 50 guys at a mass all walking around with they had this one on, and plus they had Bethany's Angels, one of those on too. So those guys had Bethany's Angels, and they had Team Bethany. And if I heard one time, I heard it 500 times, God's got this, God's got this, God's got this. You know, I honestly didn't even realize. I'm learning more and more how much impact that girl had on people. You know, they're actually going, at the ladies' walk, they're going to plant a dogwood tree in her honor. And they're over in the prayer garden, and they're going to put a bench out there and flowers around it and her picture. And we get to name it, but it's Bethany's prayer garden or Bethany's meditation garden. And they're going to use that so when people want to go get away, it's going to be right there. For not just for Mass, but for anybody. It'll be out there at Camp Caroline. And it's just some powerful stuff. You know, That girl made some impact. But the biggest impact she made on me was, God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Amen? Trust Him in every situation. Talk to Him about everything. You know, I can't necessarily talk to everybody about everything because sometimes they just don't have the answer or they don't need to know. But you know what? God already knows, so talk to him. Amen? So now let's go to the next one. We're almost through. I'm going to give you a little exercise too, a grounding exercise. God is so awesome. Pow. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. Ready? He gives us power to transfer all our burdens to him. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I love this. I love the message on this. It says, pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. He'll never let good people tumble in ruin. Wow. That's amazing. 1 Peter 5:7. Also, wow, I'm going to pop that thing fast. Hold on. I am trying to go back. I don't know what happened. I tell you, there you go. I must have stopped and blew my nose and didn't do that right. Psalm 55:22, cast your burden upon the Lord. You shall sustain you, shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Jehovah Jireh. All right, now, ready for the next one. We're just about through. Here it goes. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, is present. All right, I love this. This is so cool. Practice his presence. Practice his presence. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. God, listen to me. Shout. Bend your ear to my prayer. When I'm far from anywhere, down to the last gasp, I call out, guide me up the high rock mountain. Amen. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Now I'm going to get ready to give you an exercise. And I want y'all to think about this. It's called grounding. Some of y'all have given this to you before. Some of you have never seen it. But I want you to write this down once I put it up there. And I'm going to make a copy. If I ever get my computer copying again, I'll make a copy of this. And I'll put it up there on the table for y'all to carry it with you. But first, the Lord is my banner. Finally, he gives you power to stand. And here it is. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Here it is again in a more simpler form. Have I not commanded you strength and courage? Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step that you take. And so we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. Here's one of your good when you're getting the panic attacks. So we take comfort and encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not be overtaken by anxiety attacks. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do unto me? All right. The Lord is our banner. Jehovah Nissi. Get ready for this grounding exercise. I want you to see this. This is important. When you find yourself starting, how many can use the tell when you're getting ready to have an anxiety attack? You start breathing heavy. You maybe start getting numb in your face. You get numb in your hands. You maybe get numb in your arms. You feel your heart beating. You may even start seeing spots. And you may even literally start even having tunnel vision, but you haven't because it's got all the signs and symptoms of a heart attack, and it can also be like a migraine coming on. So all this stuff is coming on to you, and you feel it coming. Here's what I want you to do to hit it off. I'll make copies of this and put it out there for you, but it's actually called grounding. So watch this. When you feel the anxiety attack, five things. Y'all say five. Find five things you can see. So I'm under attack. I feel it. I'm starting to. I look around. Wait. Whoa. And this is so simple. I see that pew. There's a candle. So I'm stopping. I'm changing direction. I see that candle. I see Brother Baker over there. I'm looking over here and I see the PowerPoint projector. I see that TV. What did I just do? I'm going. I'm changing my direction. Now I'm grounding myself. Five things. Hold your hand up. Five things I can actually see. Then four things you can touch. All right? I'm touching this pulpit. I can touch my hands. I can touch the controller. I can touch my phone. Four things you can touch. You say, this is crazy. No, it's not. I promise you, this will help you when you're starting to feel getting out of control. This gives you back control, because what happens is, in an anxiety attack, you lose control. And as you lose control, everything just goes, just blacks out from you. And you're just thinking about that one thing, and that one thing's got you going, and you're just sitting there. If you can stop, first, five things you can see, point it out to yourself. Call it out to yourself what you see. Don't just go, I see, well, there's five things. Wow, no, stop and say it. There's the PowerPoint projector. There's the TV. There's the pulpit. There's a candle. There's a monitor. Then, four things you can touch. Touch them. Actually, touch them. After you touch them, two things you can smell. Okay? One thing, I can smell your fear. Don't say that. Have you ever gone, that's something I told the boys to tell when they're on the front line playing ball. I say, look over at the guy before you hit him and say, I can smell your fear from over here. That's what Satan will tell you too. Two things you can smell. All right? Think about it. If you had to stick your head out the window, whatever. Two things you can smell. And then one thing you can taste. Pick it up. Look at it. Name it. Put it in your mouth. If you'll take the time out to do those five things I just told you, you start grounding yourself. It seems too simple. Don't it seem too simple? It honestly looks like this is crazy. Well, isn't this? Look, when you're doing this, and your eyes are blacking out, and you've lost all control, and you're, isn't that crazy too? So instead of doing that, try this. I guarantee you, if it don't work, then, hey, you're not out of anything. Try it. It can help you when you feel like you've lost all control of your surroundings. That's all it's about, getting your back into the moment. That's what this thing's going to be about, this class we're going to teach about coming up after Easter. It's about grounding. It's about coming in right now into your surroundings. I promise you, if you find yourself getting anxious, try that. Matter of fact, I'm anxious. I'm excited, not anxious. I'm excited to hear somebody come to me and say, you know what, I was getting anxious, and I tried that, and it worked. Because I can tell you, I've heard 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times the breathing works. I hear it all the time. That breathing exercise works. That breathing exercise can also be done for anxiety. But if that breathing exercise alone is not doing it, try this. Or do these together. Do the breathing exercise and the five things that you can see. Does everybody know what the breathing exercise is? Everybody. If you don't know what the breathing exercise is, if you don't know, raise your hand, because I'll go ahead and tell it. Right now, everybody knows the breathing exercise that we talked about, where you breathe in through your nose and count to five. You just go, and you hold it and do this. And then you release it through your mouth. And do that several times, and you will find yourself amazed at how you can breathe again. Because when you're under anxiety, you can't breathe. You'll be breathing again. Those things right there, I promise you, it'll make a difference. God's got this. Y'all say that. God's got this. Amen. Now, want everybody that will, we're just going to stand up right at the chair. We're going to make an altar call right at your seat. Right at your seat. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. God has called us to do some powerful things. But all along the way, the more powerful things that he's called us to do, the more fierce the enemy will fight us. You're saying, if God really wanted to use me, why am I going through so much right now? That's why. Satan doesn't want you to do that. He can't see everything, but he can see more than you can, and he doesn't want it to happen. And so he's trying to keep you down. He senses the anointing. And when the anointing comes on your life, then he goes to fight. He wants to stomp and squelch the anointing on your life. Every time we try to move forward, if he sees us taking steps forward, he will do his best to drag us back. With everybody's head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, I'm just going to ask some questions. I want you to answer. I want you to be honest with yourself and be honest with God right now. How many here would say, you know, I find myself constantly having problems with anxious thoughts, anxiety, even sometimes panic attacks. And I want God to do something about that. But just put your hand up for a minute. There you go. There you go. There you go. God's got this. You've got the breathing exercises. You've got the grounding techniques. Try both of those. But along the way, before those are how you handle it once it's there. Meditation is there to prevent it and or keep you on track. Not saying you won't ever have them again, but what I just showed you with the word, if you can meditate on that word like that, what it does is it'll slow them down. It may even do away with them. If it doesn't, then you go to the grounding exercise and the breathing exercise. If it doesn't, those will help. Trust God in all of this. We're all gonna pray this together. Lord, y'all say it with me. Lord, I need you to be in my life in a real way. I trust you for my salvation. At times, I have a hard time trusting you with my life. And I take matters in my own hands. And when I do, I know things can get out of hand. I ask you to help me to meditate on your word day and night and to know that you've got this and I don't have to worry and I don't have to fret because you've got this. And I trust you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. It's all yours anyway. I came from you. I'm going back to you. I'm yours. Help me to stay in your hand. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Next week is Easter. We got to be ready for Easter. God's good. I like what today's Palm Sunday. I like the way the ladies have decorated. It's really, really nice. Amen. God's so good to us. Amen. These ladies are so awesome. Y'all ladies, don't you think the ladies are awesome? All right, let's go ahead now. We're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Tuesday night, be expecting something great from God. Amen. Amen. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you, God, for all you do and say in our lives. I ask you, God, to touch us, to help us to know that you've got this no matter what. It's in your hands. And we give it to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.